I'm standing in the gardens at Le Manoir, and Jo, I think, are you the head gardener?
Just the head vegetable gardener here at Le Manoir.
I'm blown away by your vegetable garden. I have an allotment at home, and seriously, this is, every cook's dream. It's like a sort of playground flavours and textures, and how amazing. I mean, have you had any trouble with the water this year?
Oh, yeah, it's been quite a tough spring. From March, I think it started, that we've hardly had any rainfall down in this area. Mm. But fortunately, we have a good water supply, and so it's just constantly moving the sprinklers around the garden. But with the heat, it's at least it's guaranteed good germination rate. Mm-hmm. With the crops. We can just manage to get by. But for other gardeners with allotments, it must be quite challenging, really.
It's been pretty hard work, actually. We've actually had to lug some water off ourselves because we don't have any water on our allotment. Now, I'm just, in terms of picking what vegetables to cook, because, I mean, from a point of view, I'm standing here with Gary Jones, who's the head chef here at Le Manoir. Gary, how does this work? Do you tell Jo what you're wanting to cook, or do you tell Gary what he's going to be cooking this year? How does that work?
We get together in the beginning of the year and produce a planting plan. You know, Jo knows the seasons very well. We know what we can expect in which season and which dishes to plan for in the future. We also meet once a week to discuss where we're at the moment, what if we've got a glut of something or something needs to go, or something's coming to an end. That's why we evolve the dishes or move the menu around.
So you're literally having to react to everything that's going on. And is there anything in particular that you find the chefs can't get enough of? Apart from all the vegetables, obviously. Oh, you! Can't get enough of you, Jo. Which?
Gary likes loads of fresh salad leaves. It's the kind of crops that... you know, you can tell that if it's picked instantly and straight on the plate, you're still retaining that quality, really. Yeah. Same with, say, courgette flowers as well. I mean, at the moment, we're harvesting about 200 flowers a day for the kitchen. So it is all about that freshness. And, you know, same with herbs, you know, straight in, everything's picked and into the kitchen before 10 o'clock in the morning. So it gives the guys then time to prep it all for service.
Now, there's a particular pumpkin that Raymond Blanc recommended on one of his shows a little while ago, and it looked a little bit like a chestnut. It sort of had beautiful big ridges in them. Have you planted any of those this year?
Yeah, that's the Mustard Provence.
Yes, I grew about 12 of them last year across the whole of my allotment. Can I have a look at them this year?
Well, they're very small plants at the moment, but we've got some planted out in the garden down there. But that is a traditional pumpkin from the south of France. It's the first time I've actually personally grown it, but it's a beautiful, you know, looking and tasting pumpkin.
They get really big and they crop heavily, I have to say. I really enjoyed the museum. What have you been cooking with these pumpkins as well? What have you been making with them?
Yeah, the main one we've done is a pumpkin soup, like a roast pumpkin soup, which is absolutely phenomenal just at the end of summertime, which is great. And also another one is a pumpkin risotto, which is another great flavour.
That's amazing. I have to say, I mean, I particularly liked how big they got, because you could really feed a lot of people with one of those. It was they were quite spectacular. Have you got any other recommendations of anything we can... I mean, we're in end of July now. What else should we be putting in to cook with for this year?
And we're still doing sowings of carrots, you know, to get a baby carrot, and still successional sowings of beetroot, spinach, salad crops, things like that. And we'll even push it a bit further in it with a sowing of dwarf French beans, just to try and push it and see if we'll get a late crop. And then slightly... later on in the season, we're looking at pak choys, Chinese cabbages, things like that, that enjoy a longer day length.
And they get you through the winter as well, some of those things. Some of those things will last all the way through.
Yeah, cabbages, kales, you know, cavolo nero, the curly green kale, things like that. It's not a garden that we grow a lot of winter produce. We take a lot of potential out of the summer months. Because it is relatively quite a small garden.
No, well, I have to say, it's absolutely beautifully kept. I've seen it in the winter, and of obviously coming sort of 6 months later in the summer, I'm blown away. It's as there's not a weed in sight, Jo. Mm-hmm. And the vegetables that I mean, I'm absolutely astonished. Everything I've looked at so far is pest free. How do you do that?
Yeah, we're not doing, it's a lot of crossing fingers. It's trying to practice companion planting, and as you say, keeping it clean and tidy and keeping that debris away, then you're not creating homes for slugs and snails and things like that. So it's just been good gardening husbandry, really.
Gary, are we going to take anything back in the kitchen with us?
Yeah, we're going to take Joe in to warm her up a little bit because it's getting a little bit cooler.
Does it start to just spit with the rain, hasn't it? You're enjoying that.
let's have a wander around the polytunnels and we'll see what we've got.
Joe, thank you so much for talking with me. I'm really pleased to look at these gardens. I'm really impressed with them.
Well, enjoy looking around. You can look in the micro herbs tunnel, and we've got an Asian tunnel with unusual crops from Southeast Asia in there. So yeah, have a good look around.
We're going to have a look at those now. Thank you.
That was good timing.